Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, this is Steven Zimmer coming at you live from the Bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky for the Star Chamber Show, episode number 179. And joining me tonight, the one and only Daniel Dark coming at you from Tennessee. So, Daniel, how is my friend from the big whiskey state doing?
I am alive and alive. No death in my future right now.
Yeah. I don't know, but maybe victims in your case with the, you know, when you go into Ripper mode, but I think we might actually get we are unfortunately tonight. Holly is still on the road. She had to take her son to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, and luckily we hopefully have some good news to report soon on that situation, but she is still on the road, so she will not be joining us tonight. But I think we actually may be joined by somebody that may be coming in here last minute. I've got another person on the line, and this is a bit of a surprise for you, I think, here. Let's see. I got somebody on the line here. And who is it? That's Eric. He is on the line. That is him, Daniel. That's Eric Jude, the Colonel himself.
I don't hear
him.
There he is.
Get closer to the phone, boy.
Can you hear
there
me
he is. Can hear you now. There he is. But, yeah, Eric's gonna sit in with us tonight, it looks like. I left it an open offer for him, and so I'm glad he's taking me up on it. But we've
just because he thought I was going to die this week doesn't mean anything. A lot of people thought I was going to die this week.
Not I. I had confidence in you, Eric.
I keep telling people I'll die when I decide I'm going to die.
You're too tough to die.
I think so, too. Oh, man. Well, it's been a whirlwind of a week, and we do actually have some cool stuff to talk about. I haven't even gotten to really talk to you about it yet, Daniel, but first of all, we had two pretty awesome guest announcements for Imaginarium that came through. We had John G. Hartness, and he is a phenomenal author, and he runs he's one of the founders of Falstaff Books and very successful guy and really great guy, great teacher too. And he is going to be coming to Imaginarium as a spotlighted guest. And if that's not enough for you, we've got the one and only New York Times bestselling, USA Today bestselling romance author J.M. Madden coming aboard as a spotlighted guest. So we had two, not one, but two spotlighted guests announced today. So that was pretty awesome, and then I got to see that Rosemary Machario, our guest from last week. Actually, today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Rose! If you're listening
happy
out there
birthday,
tonight,
happy birthday, Rose.
Yes, happy birthday! And she opened up a copy of her debut novel, The Amulet of Elements. It was a sealed copy, and how it was shipped. But she opened it up and shared that moment on Facebook with everybody. And I'm telling you, if you have her page, go look that up, because it was a very emotional video. I mean, it's really cool to see. And I think any author that remembers their debut book can relate to the kind of things that are going through Rose as she opens that very first copy for the very first book. Definitely
on her
awesome
birthday.
Yeah. And that was awesome, and I was really elated to catch that live. Actually, I who happened to be on when it hit. So it was fantastic. And I shared, actually Eric was sitting with me when that came through. And then, oh man, should I also definitely want to give a shout out to the Armed with a Book blog. Armed with a Book is fabulous. Book blog. Their reviews are just amazing. And they are going to be doing a interview blog post slash blog post with me on Imaginarium. That's going to be coming up. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So, yeah, so we have a bit of Imaginarium news for you. The Armed with a Book blog. And it's a fantastic book blog. Man, there, definitely go check them out on the online, and also look them up on Twitter. That's a great book blog. And I guess the only thing that I would say is truly exciting, I actually do have some news to share with you tonight, Daniel. I think you know about it, but since last week, I actually did get word, and this was out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. Just sort of hit me out of left field that Heart of a Lion, my novel, sword and sorcery novel, kicked off the Dark Sun Dawn trilogy, has been named a finalist for the Author Academy Awards. And they are going through their process right now and for naming the winner of each category. And it's been nominated for fantasy category, but it'll be late October when they have their big red carpet event. So
right.
I'm just thrilled to be a finalist. So love it. And anything else would be of course wonderful, but I'm thrilled to be a finalist and see that.
So is that top 10 or is that
top 10 in fantasy?
Top 10
finalists. Mm-hmm. That's not that.
I didn't know
whether
they
easiest
whether
genre
dropped
to get
it down from that yet or not. So
yeah,
I know that they break it down from top 10 to blah blah blah, and you know.
My first time through, so I'm sort of learning as I go. But yeah, they have several different criteria for how they choose the eventual winner of each category, and I know they have some votes, and then they have social contribution, presentation, and some other things that they take into consideration. And they have a jury of industry professionals that are involved too. So I'm sort of learning it because I've never been through, obviously, their award process. So I'm learning it as I go. But that was definitely cool news.
I went through it last year, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I know Nathan Day wrote Orphan Surfacing. You'll catch him
year.
On the show every now and then. Yeah, he won it. So that is cool. And oh, folks, the chat room is working tonight. So lo and behold, the chat room actually has worked from the outset. So feel free to log in. It is working. And I see Tommy.
It only took him how many weeks to get that straightened out?
no when comment.
They
Tommy B. Smith actually was able to beat Thomas Moore in tonight, so I can't believe it. Yeah, Thomas Moore is usually the first one in the chat room. It's shocking. So that's awesome. Oh, thank you, Tommy. He gave a kind comment in there. Congratulations. There's the man. There's Thomas. Oh, yeah, if you haven't joined the chat room, it is fun in there. And last week was just off the hook, and we do take – comments and questions, and we do keep an eye on that chat room. So if you are listening to the show and it doesn't show up on your page right away, refresh the page. It's a little finicky at times, but yeah, come on in and join us.
So who is our sponsors tonight? I know that we have some outstanding sponsors tonight, but who are they?
See, speaking of Nathan Day, we have, we have two sponsors. We have the great and wonderful Sandy Lender, who's has been a regular show sponsor for us for a while, and we just love Sandy. And we also, of course, this is the first week that Nathan Day and Orphan Surfacing have become show sponsors. So, yes, good idea, Daniel. Let's give the showcase to our sponsors and take a moment to find out more about them. Let's start with Sandy. Fantasy author Sandy Lender has stories for everyone, especially for readers who like dragons. Realms of Fantasy positively reviewed her dragon fact novel, Choices Meant for Kings, upon its release. Then, TimelessTeens.com went nuts for the critters in her Dragons in Space series. She's got 10 books available on Amazon so far, and she's not stopping. Check out the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon.com to pick up a new favorite story. And definitely recommend you do that, because she is phenomenal. And coming up is that award winner, Nathan Day, the one we just mentioned, won the Author Academy Award for Orphan Surfacing. And Orphan Surfacing is the book that he is spotlighting in the sponsorship. And Nathan prepared a special spot for you. So here's Nathan Day, Orphan Surfacing spot.
All that exists does so based on one constant. God is in control. But what happens when the Lord of all creation is murdered, and that control is lost? Will angels strike out against mankind in self-preservation, as demons develop newer, more vicious schemes? And what of mankind? Will they survive this spiritual war they no longer can deny is real? Now the fate of all things hangs perilously in the balance. This is Orphan Surfacing.
Ha ha! That is ominous voice by Nathan Day, Orphan Surfacing. What was that, Colonel?
How great was that? I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I love that spot. Yeah, he did. He outdid himself there. And great book. Great book. And I know several of us are here and in the chat room are familiar with it. So yeah, I've got plenty of people to vouch for that. And obviously he's won more than one juried award for it already. So he's off and running. Yeah. So that, to go support Nathan. He's a great fellow. So, but yeah, Eric, we did not ask you, did you have any news or updates to report? We typically do that in the first segment of our shows.
Not really. Recently started writing music again. So in the future, someone may or may not hear that, but besides that, no. I just do my typical deadbeat self.
Well, it's not entirely true, because for those of you that we've mentioned it on the show many times, but yeah, Eric and Kylie Jude are the directors of Imaginarium's Film Festival. So yeah, they've been definitely have been busy in recent weeks as we've been pulling it all together and getting schedules and official selections. So yeah, definitely want to give a thank you to Eric for his hard work. And Nathan Day has just entered the chat room as well, the man of the hour, who just ran his spot. And yeah, look out, chat room, here he comes. Oh dear. But yeah, Eric, it's starting to brew again. Like last week I told you, it was a bit crazy, but it's about to start building up here. they will crack you up, folks, if you go in the chat room, though, this bunch. But it's starting to stir here. So
did
Daniel,
y'all miss me last week, or?
Yes,
was I on here
of course.
Last week?
No, we missed you. Yeah, we definitely.
I was doing other things last week.
Mm-hmm. But it's good to have you back.
If you didn't tell the audience that, I didn't know whether you did or not.
Well, we didn't give details. Yeah, we didn't give details. So you can divulge as much detail as you want, but we just gave I think we described it as, you know, it had a medical situation. We didn't talk in detail.
I had been in surgery Wednesday afternoon, so Wednesday night I was still a little bit out of it.
Yeah, we understand. Oh man,
I didn't have much of a voice because part of it was going down through my throat and everything, and sealing off veins and stuff down in my esophagus and stomach. So,
and yet here you are. you know, sounding at 100% tonight. So, you like Eric said, you are one tough dude, and
glad
Eric knows a thing or two about procedures himself. So yeah, he the Colonel says he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I've had a few, but you know, Daniel is. I would not want to get into any sort of fight with Daniel. He can breathe at you and he'll just fall and die. That's how tough he is. And he may be humble
about
it. My
breath isn't that bad.
It smells like Victorian roses. Just like a rose.
Man.
If roses have their thorns. If you want to knock a son of a gun down, you're going to knock him down, man. You're tougher than snails.
That's fantastic. Oh, man.
It's so funny when Holly's baby boy is around me and everything, because he is scared to death of me for some reason.
I know. Oh, God. That's too funny. Oh, and our first guest of the evening has called in just in time to hear that great story. Oh, man. But she is actually returning to the Star Chamber show tonight. And she's a great writer, and she writes the Amber Milestone series, which are romance novels. And under the Karen Casey pen name, she writes young adult paranormal. And she's involved with writers groups like the Wright Writers of Dayton. And she's going to be a guest at Imaginarium. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Colleen Green onto the show. Colleen, there you are.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you. Yes, we
can. Okay. I had you on the
speaker. There she is. Well, as you probably heard just a second ago, Holly is still on the road, so you're stuck with just myself, Daniel, and then guest hosting at the last second. Eric Jew jumped in with me to be online here, so that you've got us.
Well, that's good.
So we're counting on you to be spectacular now.
Oh, wow. Okay. No pressure, right?
No,
whatsoever.
None.
Just be your wonderful self.
So since we last visited with you, how have things been going and what's going on?
Things have been going well. I'm in the process of editing my young adult paranormal book, which is going to be book one in the Witches of Blackstone series. So I'm doing the editing that the editor sent me back, and it's turning out really well. I think, you know, young adults and adults both will like it. The young adults will like it because there's a lot of coming of age aspects in it that they can relate to, going through puberty, and all at the same time that Matt and Tasha, brother and sister, are getting their witch powers. They're kind of newbie witches, so they have a lot going on in their life to deal with.
Do they get their powers when they go through puberty? Is that what it is?
It's kind of hitting at the same time, yeah. So I can give you kind of a description of the book.
Like going through puberty is not hard enough, but you know, you have to become a witch or whatever at the same time. All right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's a coming-of-age story for a sixth grader and an eighth grader. They're siblings, Tasha and Matt. Tasha is the older sister who's close to her younger brother, Matt. Tasha, as a witch, has the ability to sense Matt's feelings when he is near. Tasha has two friends that are witches, Courtney and Rihanna. Rihanna is a vampire-witch hybrid. Matt and Tasha are the newbie witches discovering their powers while dealing with a school bully who threatens Matt. They encounter a demon-werewolf hybrid in a haunted house, and the demon is thought to have possibly seek refuge inside one of the teenager's heads. The town of Blackstone in Ohio is the setting, and is an old historical town with architecture style of Dutch homes and Queen Anne homes. So that's kind of a background description for you.
Very cool.
Very cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I may be old as old can get, but going through puberty, I do have a vague recollection of it, and that was a hard enough time for a young person at that time, you know, with everything else that goes on in school at that time and everything, you know,
sure.
to think about, you know, becoming a witch or a warlock at the same time.
Right, yes. So Tasha tries to, she has the ability to sense her brother's feelings, but she also, her mom is a head witch in the coven in the neighborhood of three other witches, and Courtney and Rihanna's mom are also in the coven. So, you know, she's looking up to her mom who already has the ability to do certain things, like her mom can hold a cup of water and make it boil to make her tea. And Tasha wants to do that, and she tries and struggles with that. So, yeah, they have people to look up to, and she has goals that she wants to accomplish. And then, of course, bullying, with Matt being bullied in school. I think a lot of kids can relate to that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I could totally see that scene in a movie, you know, just holding the cup of mm-hmm. tea. The cup of water and making it boil, and then her trying to do it and failing, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
You know, tea, and a lot of witches drink tea, a lot of people drink tea in general, but, I thought that was a good way to show warming water, you know.
What kind of tea?
I'm sorry, what?
What kind of tea?
Oh, I don't really specify, I guess, in that particular scene. There is a...
It's Earl Grey in my book.
Nice. Oh, man.
Do you go into what their elementals are and stuff like that in the book, or do you, you know, keep it sort of generic on that part?
As far as the tea, or...
No, as being witches.
Oh, I go into, yeah, the powers that they explore. Tasha has the cheating of elements that she wants to do, and her mom. There's a scene with Tasha and a bonfire when they're camping at a cabin, and her mom controlling the flames in the bonfire, and Tasha tries to do that and struggles with that. And Matt is also a witch, and he does. I don't want to, you know, give too much away. He does also
right.
discover powers along the way. And then I picked the old historic town in Ohio because I took a walking tour of a historic neighborhood in Dayton, and there's a lot of homes in there that were Dutch and Victorian, and you got to go inside and look at them. So that kind of, you know, inspired me to have that be the setting.
Very good. Very good.
No, I was just looking at...
Go ahead, Daniel.
Oh, I was just looking in the chat room to see if they had any questions yet, because we had a little activity brewing in there, but nothing just yet, so I'm keeping an eye
nothing
on it.
Nothing just yet. It seems like it would be right down, you know, that Day Boys, you know, line.
Oh, yeah.
Come up with
yeah.
questions, but, you know.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes,
just leave it at that,
there.
Nathan.
Yeah, I don't know if you missed it, Colleen, but yeah, Nathan Day is in the chat room, so beware.
Yeah, I
He's
just heard him briefly, and then I had to get off to make the phone call, so I'm on the miss a little bit here and there. But.
Right. Oh man. So I had to jump off to just do a quick call screen, so. I didn't catch it, but did you give the release information on the book already? Or
The Witches of Blackstone won't be released till October, so I'm trying. My goal is to have it for Imaginarium.
Awesome.
Very good.
Yeah, that's
very good.
That should be a very hopping environment for you for that. Yeah, it's looking, you know, just every day. I mean, it just seems something new is coming aboard. And we are looking forward to having you there. I think you're going to have a ball, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm starting to get excited. The time's getting closer to it. And I was going to talk about my seminars, give you kind of a brief description, too.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Go
Let us know what you got going
okay.
on for seminars.
So one of them is outlining and character development, and I'll give you ways to develop your outline and flesh out your characters, and just give you like a little preview. One of the methods I use to develop an outline, and this is taken from the Witches of Blackstone series, I put my character in a, gave them a problem they had to solve, and the problem for them was that Matt got stuck in the haunted house. And he couldn't get out, and his sister Tasha had to go inside and try to save him. And the haunted house in the story is rumored, you know, you're not supposed to go in there. People know that if you go in there, you may not come out. So it's a very scary old Victorian home. And there's a backstory to that, too, but it doesn't really come out till a little later. But so the situation I had was he was in peril in the haunted house. Tasha needed to get him out. I knew I wanted Tasha to have witches. So it gave me a situation to deal with and then to base character arcs around that situation is how I developed it. So you can start with a situation if it's dire enough. They always say the more dire, the better, to make the stakes higher to get the problem solved. But that is a method to come up with the basis of the story.
Nice.
I've got something that just went through my brain. You said earlier that one of the friends is a witch vampire half breed.
Right. It's like a hybrid. Yeah.
Hybrid. Or is the mother a witch and the father a vampire, or?
The mother was a witch, the father was a vampire, and the father turned the mom into a vampire, and then Tasha was born from the mom that was a vampire-witch hybrid, so she was a vampire-witch hybrid.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out exactly how it was working and stuff, so. Because
oh,
that's
became,
awesome.
How she became
a vampire-witch
one,
hybrid. So in other words, you need to really meet Holly, because that's what Holly pretty much is, a vampire witch hybrid. You can quote me on that. She will not take that as an insult.
Mm-hmm.
She actually will be.
She will
she'll
not
take
take
that as a compliment.
That one at all.
No, no.
You must like to work at night then.
Yep.
And Nathan, and Daniel, you're right. Nathan Day has chimed in with a question. For your witches. Does Colleen create her own concept of how magic works? Does she research, or are you a Wiccan or anything? And now we're getting the big questions. All right.
I'm not a Wiccan, and I research the subject matter, and which I actually like doing research for books. I really like to learn about different aspects of different things like that. But I can see the appeal to, you know, a lot of the things I read, at least, you know, to me, the witches kind of, you know, a lot of respect for Mother Earth and the animals, and it kind of reminds me of what I think of Native Americans being like, because I think of them being respectful, you know, and how they would only kill to eat or use the fur to warm themselves. They didn't hunt for the sake of hunting. And I think of,
right.
you know, Wiccan as being very respectful to Mother Earth. And I think of it like a kind soul. At least I think that's what I think of when I think of, you know, a good witch, how they would be. And there's good and bad in everything. So, you know, I'm sure there's people who do things with it that I wouldn't like, but that's not the aspect that I was researching. So if it came up, I might read it, but that wasn't where I was focusing. And as far as the powers that I give them, I try to come up with it myself, and I try to, you know, you kind of base things on what you already know. You know, if you have a werewolf in there, you're going to take some stuff that you may have seen from other stories or TV shows and, you know, maybe make it your own. So I think everything does influence you in that manner, but ultimately you're going to make it your own when you start developing, you know, who has what power, who trumps who, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And Nathan Day responds by saying that he loves how you compared the Wiccans to Native Americans. He said he can totally see that from the Wiccans that he knows personally. So there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah. That is cool. Yeah, I'm always interested in magic systems and you know what different authors use in their various worlds and how they come about it and the research and all that too myself. So that is a cool topic to cover. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. You're good.
You know, if you have a power like power of controlling fire, you know, you try to think of ways to limit it, because if you give them, you don't want them to make them all powerful, because then they'll have no struggle. So,
right.
You know, Superman had his kryptonite. Everybody has to have their version of kryptonite, because it helps make your characters flawed and more relatable and more, you know, it's kind of weird to say, but more realistic in a paranormal way. You know, you're giving
right.
them a flaw to work with. And, you know, also, you know, I think of Superman and, you know, his flaws, and I know it's in one of the movies. I don't know if it's in the first one. I think there was, like, kids on the bus, and he said something about, you know, you care too much and that's your downfall or something to that effect. You know, and then he went after the kids to make Superman, you know, just to prove a point, like, you always have to save everybody. Even though you can't, you always want to. So even
right.
though it's a good thing, it's like it's kind of like good and bad, and you know. So obviously, you
right.
know, things stick with you that you see and have an effect on you.
Yeah, it's definitely a subject matter I know a lot of readers are interested in these days for sure, and that's definitely I know that's a seller for you, yeah, because that's a popular area. Right now, yeah, that's that kind of sphere.
And
but,
then of course I'll have my romance books too. So.
Mm-hmm.
And so
how are those
last
going?
Words. Oh,
romance market nowadays?
As far as the market goes, it's ultra competitive as always. You know. I think romance is the biggest genre out there of all of them, as far as, I mean, saturation of how many books there are. And there's all different, you know, you got paranormal romance, you got contemporary romance, historical, a bunch of others. So, you know, I'm learning as I go, like everybody else, on what works and doesn't work as far as marketing. But I just try to take note of, okay, that worked out well. Maybe I want to do that again. You know, something doesn't work out well. Maybe I will dump, you know, trade that for something that does. So I know I'm being vague, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
Yeah, because it seems that the rules seem to change about every week.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah. So it drives all of us mad, no matter what genre we write. But I just know that the romance genre tends to be a pretty hopping one as far as activity. So that is cool. Yeah, and that's you're gonna have both spheres represented at Imaginarium. So yeah, you should be very busy, yeah, for sure, on all your stuff there. And you also be talking about. You know, from, you know, writers group perspective, because I know you're very busy with the Write Writers of Dayton, so.
Yeah. I manage their WordPress newsletter, and I go to the meetings, and I do their Facebook, and do their post on there, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you have a lot to talk about in the panels. Yeah, the business to writing to writers groups. Yeah, you definitely have your hands full of Imaginarium. That's for sure.
Yeah, I will, but I think it'll be a good experience, and I'm looking forward to meeting people and doing all that networking and seeing you and Holly again. And...
Oh yes, you'll catch glimpses of us as we're running around, pulling our hair out. from here to there, but he will see us. It's a
well,
yeah, for you. We want
to. I've got another hard question for you.
Okay.
If you weren't writing in supernatural, paranormal, what genre would you be writing in?
Other than romance?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I think I would probably go towards the self-help, and because with doing these seminars, you know, I've had to flush out so much of what I'm going to say that by the time you do that, you almost feel like it's not a book by any means, but it is a form of writing, and I think when you do it and you're self-helping others, you're actually helping yourself by doing that because you're being more self-aware of what you're doing that works that you can share with somebody else. And you might want to revisit something like, oh, yeah, I used to do this. Why don't I keep doing that? Or why don't I do that more often? That seemed to work. And you may redo that in your life, and it may help you while you're trying to help somebody else. You're actually helping yourself along the way. So that's very appealing. The other seminar I was going to talk about was the Self-Awareness of Kindness Method, which that's basically talking about being self-aware of your time, stress levels, and contacts, and how doing all three of those things constantly will just keep you on the right path to get you where you want to go. And so I'm going to have index cards and ask the audience questions and have them answer them on the index cards, put down what their goal is, like a long-term goal, figure out what time of day or night is best for them to work, figure out what kind of environment. And then, you know, they're going to take these cards home and use this as a tool to put them, you know, start doing these things that make sense. But if you don't take the time to really think about it, you won't figure out what the best way is if you don't put the effort into analyzing it a little bit for yourself.
Right.
I know my answers are so long. I feel like you guys asked me a question.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
No,
you're answering the question.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you give, you know,
yeah.
Somebody will listen to this and get some advice from you to help them. So it's good you give the in-depth adventure.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we want to hear Colleen. Yeah, they've had far enough of us.
No one definitely wants to hear me.
Yeah, and yeah,
is
even the chat room
has
Nathan apologies.
There or?
Yeah, even Nathan says
Nathan?
He apologizes in advance for when you meet me. That's what he said to you.
Oh boy, okay.
No, he's relatively harmless. Oh man,
I am too.
Yeah. Well, please don't put Colleen up on that penny farthing bike because I don't want her to like wreck on the first day of the convention.
No, geez. Yeah, I really prefer not to go to the hospital. So.
Oh come on, be a sport. You can
oh, man.
Do it.
Yeah.
All the crap.
Yeah, he's still trying to get. Yeah, he's still trying to get Holly up on that bike. Just so you know, Colleen, Holly hasn't given in yet. So.
Is Holly there now?
No, she's not. She's still
okay.
Still traveling. Yeah, she's on the road. Yeah, from the Mayo Clinic. So yeah, she's. Had a long haul up to Minnesota and back, so
okay.
A tough road haul. Yeah,
yeah.
Luckily,
I saw that
you don't have
Facebook.
To make as long of a trip, and because you're up in the Dayton area, so at least your trip won't be that
right.
long for Imaginarium.
No,
a little bit closer.
Oh goodness,
yeah.
Yeah,
but
not bad at all.
Hers is about 13 hours that she was having to drive the other day
yeah.
to get up there.
But now,
so hopefully
how is the Dayton book scene? Because I have not gotten, I have to admit, this is bad because you're not that far from me, but how is the Dayton book scene in general in terms of events, conventions, everything else? Because I know you got a great Rogers group, obviously, but as far as just the general city scene in literary world?
It's hit or miss with inventions. I feel like sometimes you have good foot traffic and sometimes you just have dwindling. And there's so many factors to pull events together. And I was at one and, you know, the person didn't realize that there was like a food truck thing down the street and, you know, took away some of the, I think, our foot traffic. But she didn't even know till it was, you know, she had already planned this and, you know, things like that happened. We did have some people come in, but I think that I've really found the best things are like the Christmas bazaars at the churches. And I think they pull from this big church, you know, group, and they get a lot of people coming in there. So,
yep. And that actually, I want to just stop there because that kind of underscores what we've talked about on the show often, and that's when you're an author, you do events that are outside the box or not specifically book events. You'll find when you go out and do other things, they end up being very successful, and you know, and it's good to like you said, go out to the Christmas bazaar, you know, that type of thing, and being stuff that's not typically just a straight up book event. Yeah, I know that you've seen that calling.
Right. Yes. Sometimes the events that get more traffic are the ones that are like the crafts and arts and books and a little bit of everything. So.
Yeah. Like one of the best ones that I've done lately was, you know, doing a cooking demo at one of the historic homes.
Oh, and nice.
They, you know, the manager of the house that I was at is at one of the president's house here local, and they told me, said only one group of people that had come through that whole day that had not come there to see me.
Wow. So you had a lot of people coming out.
All the rest of them had come specifically just to see me and then go through the house and stuff like that as a something else, which was really, you know, really amazing to me in a way that happened. But, you know.
But that means you have a good family, so.
You never know where your niche is going to be, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Stevens is bourbons and you know, and so.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, the bourbon.
Uh-oh. So what are you saying, Colleen?
Oh, I was just going to read a short part from my second book in the series, Amber series.
Yes.
Okay?
Most welcome to. Yeah, most certainly.
I'll just give you a short description of both of them, but the first book is called Last Words, and that takes place in Napa Valley, California. It has family drama, plot twist, and seamy romance with a handsome, wealthy man. The second one, City in the Middle, takes place in New York City and has danger lurking around the corner with mafia connections, an Irish pub, and a hot fireman. So you can see I'm targeting the ladies there. But it's romance, so you know. So I'm just going to read a really short section from, actually City in the Middle of book two. And for the background of it before I start is Amber and Gabe have a date and they go see a musical on Broadway. And afterwards they go back to his apartment. So that's where they're in his apartment now. So I'll pick up there. He brushed against me and took the Frank Sinatra album out of the sleeve, his lips inches away from mine. I froze, yearning for them to meet. When he put the record on the turntable, I exhaled. It was getting harder and harder not to jump his bones. The song The Way You Look Tonight started. May I have this dance, he asked. I nodded and put my drink down next to his. His arms extended out in the formal dance position of a waltz. My hands met his. The dim lights of the kitchen cast a soft glow on his face. Our bodies touched. It made time stand still. I soaked in the moment. We moved in unison as the smooth sounds of the music swept us away. His eyes penetrated my soul. The connection between us formed even though no words were spoken. He leaned over, put his cheek against mine, and pulled me deeper into his embrace. He slid his arms down until we were dancing in a more relaxed way. He wrapped his arms around me. I closed my eyes and felt his rapid heartbeat against my own. I ran my fingers through his gorgeous locks. I leaned back and our eyes met. We were about to kiss for the first time.
Go on.
So that's it?
Go on.
Go on. Well,
hey,
see, I did my job. I stopped right at the right moment.
Yeah, you're getting ready to sizzle in that scene there. That's good stuff. Yeah, Tommy says very nice, and Thomas Moore said, "Woo, it's getting hot in here." That's what I was thinking. I was like, "Yeah, Colleen's turning up the heat in the Star Chamber now with this scene here." That's awesome. Good job. So, folks, yes, get the book, folks. That's good stuff. And well done. Well done.
I have it on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited, but of course, you know, I'd love to see people come out and see me. So.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You are awesome. You are awesome to see in person to begin with. Holly and I were so glad you're coming to Imaginarium because we enjoy seeing you in person. I know everybody else will also enjoy meeting you that hasn't yet.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And, I know I sent you that recipe. Did you ever try the Caesar chicken bake?
We are. We have not yet just because of all the tumultuous stuff and road trips. But
yeah.
We will do that. Yeah, I'm good with the microwave, but Holly will know how to put it together.
You'll just be like, here, Holly, look at this.
Yeah. Yes, that's
the
plan, but yeah.
Stephen was telling me his diet earlier since Holly's been gone and everything.
Yeah.
It consists of a lot of microwaving.
Yep, microwave.
You'll be ready for some good home cooking.
And wraps and fancy stuff, yeah.
He hasn't had time to leave the house to actually go get food because, you know, he's working for a living, but, you know, it's one of those type things where, you know, he hasn't starved to death, but not because he's not trying.
Right. So, yes, you when Holly gets back, yeah, your recipes will definitely be welcomed. Yeah, definitely.
But if you go on Active Amateur Chef WordPress.com, that's where that recipe is, if anybody else wants to look at it.
Definitely.
Do you do a chef website or something?
It's a WordPress site, so it's Active Amateur Chef, all one word, .wordpress.com.
Okay.
Everybody got that? All right.
I know it's kind of a long one, long meeting.
Yes, and I know that you have to bow out a little bit early tonight, so I want to make sure that we get in tonight your contacts for listeners to find you. You know, make sure we do that.
I am on Facebook. If you look up author Colleen Green, you'll see City in the Middle and the banner there. Karen Casey. Could look up author Karen Casey. There will be see the bear in that one. I think it says Embrace the Paranormal because that's going to be the title of my newsletter. And it has Karen Casey in the banner also. So yeah, give those a like, and I always post on there when I'm doing events, and of course I post on there about Imaginarium. So
yes, it's gonna be a blast. That is gonna be awesome. New book and
if they're on,
seminars from you and everything.
If they're going to be on Amazon, they can, you know, you can look up the Amber Milestone series that will find my romance books, Last Words and City in the Middle.
Say that
very
one more
cool.
time, huh?
Very cool.
I'm sorry, what?
Say that last one more time.
Oh, if they're on Amazon and they want to look up the books that I have, they can type in the Amber Milestone series.
Okay.
And that will bring
Thank
the
you.
Books up.
Thank you.
My
you.
Website
Thank
is... Yeah, my website is ColinGreen.info, and that also has links, too, on there.
Very cool.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks
awesome.
For fitting me in your schedule tonight. That was awesome
well,
of
course.
You guys. And I
Great
hope that
have
Holly
you back.
Has a safe trip home. Thanks.
Yep.
I hope Holly
yeah,
has
we,
a safe trip home.
Yep, she'll hopefully be back in full speed in the next couple days here And definitely enjoyed having you on the show, Colleen. It was awesome.
Yes, you was awesome. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys take care.
Thank you.
You too. You too.
Okay.
Good
I'll
night.
See you at
Imaginarium.
Yes,
yep,
see you at
bye.
Imaginarium. Bye-bye.
Yep.
And that was not the end of the show, folks. So we have not just one, but we have two guests tonight. And our next guest has just seen the debut of his first novel, which is the thriller, Tybee Island H-Bomb. And as a matter of fact, he's just coming off his first weekend of author appearances here in Lexington, did two half-price books appearances. And I am speaking to you of the wonderful Michael Houchin. Michael, you are now on the Star Chamber show.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Hey, Michael.
Ah,
how's it going tonight?
Are.
I'm doing great. And you guys?
Very
We're
good.
Doing,
very
doing,
good.
Doing very well. So how does your first week as a printed author feel?
Yes.
It's almost unreal. You think about it.
It's
you know,
a real feeling.
Yeah, I can stand here and actually hold a book in my hand, something that I wrote. And
yes.
that's something
that
I'll
is a good
to
feeling.
My kids and my grandkids. So it's a great feeling. And I owe it all to Southern Star. I mean, it's just Seventh Star.
Well, thank you.
I work for a company called Southern Star Pipeline years ago, so it's hard for me to say he's Seventh Star.
Oh,
don't
it's
think
okay.
I'm not getting
it's
used
okay.
to it. Don't think I'm not getting used
our...
to it. But no, it's been great. A lot of people, I've got a lot of comments from Facebook and text messages from friends, and they're so excited for me.
So how did you come up with bombing Tybee Island?
Well, hopefully Tybee Island is still there the last time I looked, but there's six of us. We play cards every Friday night, just about every Friday night. And once a year, we like to go on vacation together, and we started going to Tybee Island, which is right outside Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, yes.
And so we've been going there. Like, this is the next time we go, probably next year, it'll be our eighth year to go. And while we were down there, we heard about the government losing a bomb. So I started doing the research on it. And February the 5th, 1958, during a training exercise, the government did lose a hydrogen bomb there. The prologue to the book tells how they lost it. They actually ended up jettisoning it about roughly 5 miles south of Tybee Island, they think, because their navigation equipment was destroyed in the accident. So for about 6 weeks, about 1,000 troopers were down there wading through the marshes and patrolling up and down the creeks and rivers, and there were blimps in the air looking for craters, and after 6 weeks, they gave up and all went home. And it's still there today. So I thought it would be cool if there were some people trying to find the bomb to make a dirty bomb, which there is a retired admiral that's actually worried about that. He goes down there every year looking for the bomb. And these six friends, it'd be the six of us, from Kentucky get caught up in murder and kidnapping and terror and espionage, and that's kind of where it came from.
Very cool.
You can go out on YouTube and Google Tybee Island H-Bomb, and you'll find a documentary there. It's about an hour and a half long that actually has video of the plane, the damage, the pilot. You'll hear him talking about it. And so, you know, it really happened. But I thought it would be a kind of a neat idea for a story.
So it was about five miles outside of Tybee Island that they feel like they lost this bomb at, huh?
Right. They were they got damaged up in, like, North Carolina. They lost part of a wing and engine, which actually controlled their navigation equipment. So they didn't have enough. They were losing fuel from the fuselage damage. They couldn't go out in the ocean and jet, you know, drop it there because they wouldn't make it back. So somebody at HQ came up with the idea that, well, south of Tybee Island, there's a sound. It's Warsaw Sound. The water's about 40 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is it's mud and silt.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt if they could drop the bomb, it probably wouldn't go off. Well, obviously it didn't. But it's probably buried in about 5 to 10 feet of mud and silt. And it's fine if you leave it alone. The government would really prefer no one to mess with it. They're concerned about it leaking. There is uranium there, and the trigger was plutonium, so that's very radioactive, and it could make one heck of a dirty bomb. But they say right now, if you just leave it alone, it probably won't do any damage. Well,
we hope so. Yeah,
that's
no
hope.
Kidding.
The you know, nuclear products things in the ocean never do any damage, so look at Godzilla.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what about Tybee Island. I mean, one of the things that blew me away this weekend hanging out with you and was how many people were coming by that were either going to Tybee Island soon or had been there in the past, go there regularly. I mean, it seemed like I was like the only person around that hasn't physically been to Tybee Island. I mean, this is a pretty well-known place, evidently.
Oh, yes. It's yeah. You know, me and my wife have been there, you know, twice in the last, you know, 2 years.
So,
down to Savannah and everything, Tybee out, you know, and have looked at houses down there and stuff, so.
That's what the six of us normally do. We normally rent a house. And like I say, we're card players, so our big thing is we play cards. And there's two of us that like to really get out and walk in the sand, and the rest of us, well, we just kind of like to sit on the balcony and look at the ocean. But we all like to cook, and we do. There are about three restaurants we love going to, but other than that, we hang out. The six people in the book, excuse me, the six people is our group. For instance, there's a Mike and Stephanie Roach. That's my wife and I. Now, I didn't use our real names. Roach is my mother's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
There's a single lady goes with it in the book. She's Charlotte Knott. That's not her real name. Knott is her best friend's name. So it's we're actually there. So when I was writing the book, I asked everyone, I said, okay, you're going to be in the book. And I'd love for you to describe yourself, because I don't want to hurt your feelings by describing you in a way that you wouldn't like. So they each wrote a little paragraph of what they look like, except for one person. Now, one person, we call him FJ. That's not his real name. But he came back, and he said, okay, I'm a dwarf. I'm not very religious, and I ran away to the circus when I was little. And he was being kind of a smart butt, thinking, you know, it's just he's trying to be funny. That's all he's doing. Well, guess what? In the book, he is a dwarf. He's not very religious, and he ran away to the circus. So when we go on vacation, we call this gentleman, we call him FJ. Well, in the book, the character's name is Milton Frederick Johnson, and we call him FJ. But what makes this nice. Character so interesting, he is a dwarf. He prefers to be called a dwarf. He wears his hair and his beard like the Peter Dinklage did in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Dinklage, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody sees him, especially college-age women, which he loves, keeps asking for his autograph. And he finds it that way. The author of the actor's name, of course, he's going to get in trouble, we keep telling him, but that's kind of the running joke in the book, is everybody thinks he's the actor and he keeps signing autographs that way. So it was fun writing it, and we all picture each other being the hero, and one of our group does get kidnapped, so it's up to us to, we kind of come to her rescue at the very end, and we solve a murder while we're at it. The government is involved. Homeland, they know it. They've been eavesdropping on everybody, so they know everything that's going on. But they want the mastermind, the person who wants to buy the bomb, to make a dirty bomb. So they're letting things happen. But it was fun. It was a fun book.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. So how was it for you getting to like I said, meet people, you know, in an environment like we did at Half Price Books, where you don't know what kind of reader they are. Some, you know, are your kind of readers, some are not. And what was that like for you going through it for the first time as an author with the kind of random kind of feel of you know, one person to another?
Yeah, I've never had a problem meeting people. I don't know if you could tell that or not. So when people walk by, I gave away bookmarks that had the book on it, and you know, we like to have a free bookmark. We had candy for the kids, so you, hey guys, you want some candy? So we get them over, the parents over that way, give them a bookmark, and then I'd ask them, I said, are you interested in thrillers? And it's either yes or no. And if you no, then I said, well, enjoy the bookmark and help yourself to the candy. But if they did like the thriller, so they knew somebody who did, then I just kind of gave them the spiel like I just kind of talked to you guys about. But I enjoy talking to people. And what was really interesting, I thought, it made me feel good. You know, I've had friends, family, order a book, and, you know, I sign it for them, which is great. But when you have a complete stranger you've never met in your life walk up and you talk to them about 15 minutes and say, I'd like to have a copy of your book, then there's something that's just so special about that moment, that somebody is interested to pay money to read something that you wrote. And that just makes it all worth it. I mean, you sell one book. We could sell one book that day, and the whole trip would have been worth it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
It does to us.
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, you cut up and carry on with people, and, you know, I ask them to leave a review, go out, and if you like the book, leave a review. If you don't like the book, don't leave a review. No, I didn't tell them that, but joking.
You didn't.
But
I was there.
Yeah, it was fun. Actually, I did, didn't I, Stephen?
You were joking. They knew you were joking around with that one person. Yeah, but the staff was the staff of the two stores, Half Price Bookstores, were super, super good to us. And, definitely it was a very friendly environment.
Yeah, it was, I've never been in Half Price Books, and I'll do a promo for them right here. They got everything in there, from vinyl to games to new books, old books. It's an awesome place. And people bring their books in to sale. And, oh, we had that one, they had that one kid that, second store that he wouldn't know, he didn't want to buy a book. He took a bookmark, but he wanted to get a picture. So there's a picture of me and him holding my book. He said he wanted to get the picture with a real author. And I said, well, Stephen, he's busy right now. So, but no. Hey,
oh, no.
I took my picture. And that made me kind of proud, you know, that, you know, this kid thinks, I told Holly back a year ago when I first met you guys, at the convention, my wife went. I went to the convention, and I did my little spiel, and I met you and Holly. And I told Holly, "Holly, I don't really think myself as a writer so much as a storyteller." And And I still really don't, but yet, you know, these people keep saying, well, you're an author. And I guess technically, I guess I am, and that's so neat that I can tell people I am an author.
You are an
author. I'm a published author. And that's
you are
art.
A published author now, and you are not a vanity author.
All right.
Yeah.
And
nope.
I want you to be my witness.
What's that?
I want you to blow Nathan Day's mind, because he is not going to believe me. He would never believe me if I said this, but you are my witness. I was there for both signings and made it through two different half-price books in two consecutive days, and I did not buy a single thing or record or vinyl, anything, while I was in either day.
Okay, that is true. Now, you
yes.
were tempted. You kept bringing some things over and showing us things, but you turned around and took them back. So, yeah, he did not buy anything. We watched him real close.
He accuses me of lying in the chat room. He
no,
said
he
doesn't
lie.
Believe
he did not
anybody.
Buy anything.
I did not buy anything.
It.
I made it through 2 days in a row.
But he wanted to really, really bad.
Yeah, Nathan has witnessed me fall victim to half-price books many times. So I know it's a – yeah, he doesn't believe us, but – oh man,
no.
That was too funny. Too funny.
Yeah.
So how were? So tell me, because we were talking earlier about Rose Machario, how she did a Facebook Live today where she opened up her very first copy, that was sent to her from Ingram. How can you give us a little replay on how you felt and what your kind of emotions were opening up your book for the first time when it arrived.
Okay, we knew it was coming. Any day now it's coming. And we have one of those Ring doorbells, and it chimed. We wasn't home at the time, I think, and it chimed. And we saw that up, I think it was U.S. Post. I forget how they deliver it, but they're at the house. I said, oh, my gosh, it could be the book. And Stephanie picked it up, and I was getting the mail out of the mailbox, and she picked it up off the doorstep. She said, it's your book. Oh my gosh. So it came in and I just kind of looked at the postage where it was from, and I said, it's in here. So I opened it up and got it out, and I just sat and looked at the cover, because you know, this is the first time I actually held the book and saw the cover. You know, wasn't a thumbnail kind of image, but it was the actual image. You know, I could feel the surface, and I just stood there and looked at it. And then I opened it up and I saw all the copyright stuff and the dedications. And it dawned on me, this is a real book. You know, this is not just an idea or a concept. This is real. So I just kind of thumbed the pages, looking at the colored pages and the print. Oh, my gosh, it looks so good. I mean, it just, yeah, it blew me away. I mean, it blew me away. It was awesome.
So have you heard from anyone yet? Because I know you have had some people pre-order it, had some people get it right out of the gate. Has anybody gotten back to you yet about the book itself so far, or are we still early on that?
It's still early. Not yet. No, I know they're reading. I know they're reading it. Some people I go to church with, they got their copies already, and I know a couple of them pre-ordered, and I know they're reading them. So I it'd be interesting to get their feedback. I would say leave a review.
Yes,
but,
reviews. Yeah, reviews count, folks. Yeah, if you're out there and you like writers, please leave reviews on Amazon, because it helps them immensely. And it's that's something you and I talked about, Michael. But yeah, that's especially for authors that are just getting out of the gate, like you, with their first novels in print. I mean, that makes all the difference in helping get it out there. So hopefully, some of those early buyers will put a review or two up.
And I did hit everybody up when they were buying a book. After they bought the book, I asked them to leave a review. And those just took a bookmark with the idea that they would buy it later. Please leave a review. It didn't take long to leave a review. And I told them it would help me. And I would like people's feedback on my writing. I don't know why I was being critiqued. I prefer it, actually. Because, you know, you can give this to your mom. Bless your mom's heart. She's going to read your book. She's going to buy your book, and she's going to say it's lovely. And if she leaves a review, it's probably the best book ever written. But, you know, that's your mom. She's not going to be, you know, brutally honest with you. But I want that kind of feedback. If it's a good book, yes, I want to hear it's a good book. But if I'm lacking something, or I'd like to hear that too. I think it would only help me as a writer.
Yeah, I was going to say, not all moms are like that, because I was online and Hattie Eve was sharing her mother's reaction, because her mother does not like the genre that Hattie Eve writes in, and so she gets a lot of flack. Her mom's asking her when she's going to write a good book.
There you go, a good book. Yeah, right.
It could
exactly
be.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, not all mothers are like that, and some can be very constructively critical. I know mine was. My mom, when I was writing my first manuscripts in the 90s, she was extremely, she'd give me encouragement where there was to be encouragement, but definitely told me where, you know, things need to really be shored up and worked on. So, yeah, moms come in all sizes. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's what you want. That's what you want. I mean, Stephanie, my wife, Stephanie, she reads everything I ever do first. And she's not afraid to tell me what she thinks. But that's what I want. And then I rewrite it.
Yeah.
Then I give it to my second person, you know? But it's fun. Process is fun. There are times I get I'll get a reader, you know, a block. Where am I going? And then I'll just write something else while I'm just messing around.
Right.
So I'm always writing. And I come back and continue on.
Well, that brings me to the fact that you just turned in a new manuscript. And how much do you want to? It's up to you. How much do you want to talk about the manuscript you just turned in? And I will say it does continue as a series from Tybee Island H-Bomb.
It does. It's the six of us. We're back. We're actually from Franklin, Kentucky, which is a small town. It's at the going down I-65 corridor to Nashville. It's right there at the state line, Franklin, Kentucky, not to be confused with Franklin, Tennessee. So it's a little bitty community. Why I picked Franklin, Kentucky, I have no idea. But Stephanie and I, we spent a weekend down there. Well, we went down there one day, drove down, spent the day driving around town, getting a feel for the town, the hardware stores and the restaurants, and so, you know, the businesses, the restaurants, et cetera, you see in the book are real. It's a real location. It's the six of us again. We start out, we're playing cards, and there's a phone call. There's been a murder, and the main character has to go investigate it, and it turns out it's the granddaughter of one of the six. His granddaughter, 16 years old, is murdered. So it's the character, the main character. He's the sheriff of the area, and he's going to solve it and keep the grandfather from going berserk and trying to do some revenge type of stuff. So right now,
nice.
the working title, it's The Death of Innocence. Because the girl's name who was murdered, her name is Innocence. So it's The Death of Innocence. Right.
Wow.
Now. So.
Wow. That's powerful.
In the first book, the Tybee Island book, we know who the bad guys are because we meet them in the very first chapter. So we know who the bad guys are. We just got to prove it and rescue somebody. In this book, hopefully you won't figure it out. You won't know who the murderer is until the very last chapter. So there's some cleanup work. There's some pretty good. In the first book, the Tybee Island book, I have two dream sequences, which I love. One is the first. It's a description of a hanging. It's a first person hanging from the person getting hung, their point of view. And then the second dream sequence, I'll just tell you, it's pretty graphic. It's the bomb goes off. But in the new book, there is a pretty eerie dream sequence in it that it was fun writing. I just go back and read it. But it was a fun book to write. The people who read the book already did not like the ending. Did not like it at all. So I had to start a third book. I've got like two chapters written trying to explain why I ended the second book the way I did. So we'll see how that goes. So I'm hoping to have a third book in the series. Hoping.
Yes. Yeah, Daniel, mark my words. Yeah, before we're done, it'll be one of the folks like Butcher or something, like Jim Butcher or something like that. He'll have like 30 titles in his series at least.
Mm-hmm. The main character has to live long enough. He's like 70. He can barely get around. So he can't go over a long number of years. He has trouble getting around. He's already had a triple bypass, but he's slowing down.
Dear.
He gets a job done.
No, I'd say he's just heating up. He's going to get a second wind.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
Fun.
So what is your process, Michael? It's always fun for authors to hear different authors, different writers and readers, too. It's fun to hear about writers' processes as far as, like, your approach and when you write and how much outlining you do, all those kind of things. What is your process for writing each day or week?
Let's see. I have done some work from an outline. But I don't restrict myself to the outline. I move things around. I may insert, delete. I've done that. The second book, the sequel that's coming out on Tybee, I had the first chapter in my mind and the last chapter. I knew it was a murder. I know who did it. And I know, so I wrote the last chapter. What happened in between, I had no idea. So I just started writing. The third book I'm working on, I just sit down. Okay, we just got aboard a plane. We're flying to L.A. Now, where we're going from here, I don't know. So I'm just going along. And I just let the characters kind of take me along on the journey. So
nice.
I do a little bit of everything. I'm retired. I retired 5 years ago. I was a computer analyst I was a draftsman for 20 years. I did mapping, and then I was a computer analyst for 20 years. So 5 years ago, I retired, and I started really writing. And so I write during the day. So I really have no set time to write. If just something comes in my head, I'll write. If I'm laying, a lot of stuff comes to me as I'm sleeping. I lay down and take a nap, or I go to bed at night. And something that can jump into my head, and if I don't get up and go write it down, I'll forget it. So I've done that, wake up 2 o'clock in the morning with an idea, I'll come here and just jot it down in the computer real quick and go back to bed. So I have no set time. As I was listening to you guys a while ago, what's her name? We were just on your show.
Colleen Green.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was listening to her talking. I think she sounds really interesting. I was sitting there just kind of working on the third book a little bit, just jotting some notes down.
Very cool.
So yeah, I don't have a set time to write, and I kind of play it by ear. I do try to write every day.
Oh, very cool.
I may not write a lot, but I do try to write something, and it may be something totally different. It may be, it could be anything I'm going to write. So I have several little running stories right now in the back of my head, and I just jot things down and type a little bit on them, and then I go back to something else.
And one day, Daniel, it's haikus, and the next day, it's thrillers. He covers it all. Michael Houchin. Nice.
I'm looking forward to the convention and meeting everybody, one-on-one and get the names. Because I was there last year.
Yes,
we were on the other side of a table. Yeah.
Sorry, I met
we were
you.
On the other side of the
yeah.
table. So I'm looking yeah. forward to being part of the group. It's exciting being part of the group.
Oh, Lord. What you've gotten yourself into. Yeah, the world of the independent author.
Yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor to get through it. But no, Imaginarium, yeah, is a very positive, uplifting event. not all experiences are so uplifting, but yeah, this one, you will have a lot of fun coming as an author guest. Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
We had fun last year, going to everything, seeing everybody. The different genres that you have, the different craftsmen, I don't know how you proper word to use for them, but craftsmen that you have there. You know, your writers, your editors, and your the people that do the films and screenplays and costume design, makeup, all that stuff is interesting. Loved it.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun, and I'm excited because that's so cool that within 1 year that you like I said, have gone from meeting us to like I said, you know, having the book there and being on the other side of the table. That's a cool year long kind of tale that you can tell when you're there and talking to other folks. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, there could be people coming to this that were just like me a year ago, and all they're looking for is that one opportunity, be at the right place at the right time. And, you know, they could happen to them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's why they come. That's why a lot come. They're trying to get that break. And you got to meet
Kylie in person, you know, on the second signing. But you have not gotten to meet Eric yet in person, but he's on the line tonight. But, yeah, you'll get to meet him finally in person, directing the film festival there at Imaginarium. So that'll be fun. You can finally meet the other half of the Judes there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't wait. It'll be fun.
Yeah, he's there. He's lurking. I see him. I see Eric.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Hey.
There he is. That's right. Oh, I heard a Kylie laugh. Oh, my God, there's Kylie.
Well, it sounded like it. I thought it was Callie. I heard that laugh before.
Yeah, I know. It's throwing us a curveball there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The other day.
Go ahead, Kylie.
Hi.
There she is.
What's going on, Miss Kylie?
Yeah, we're both kind of sitting here lurking.
You're not trolling, are you? You're just lurking.
Maybe.
Yeah, hopefully I've been attacked by the raccoon that frequents our house. Yeah, I think they're in the back. Yeah, they're... But oh, no.
Yeah, we're staying alert, don't worry.
Well, as you can see, Kylie, Michael survived his weekend visiting Lexington. So, but you were there.
I did.
You got to witness the first weekend of signings by him.
Yeah, it was nice. Seemed like it did really good. Had a good turnout.
Yeah,
it was fun. And I think with Stephen and Holly's help, I think that my wife and I think we could. You know, we could set up some here in Owensboro. That's where we're from, Owensboro, by the way. We can set up something here, maybe with our local library, and we know what to expect and how to handle it. We needed some guidance for the first one, and Stephen and Holly did that for us. So we're in good shape, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're definitely looking forward to it. And, yeah, in Owensboro, yeah, That's a part of the state that we haven't done a lot in yet. Because that's definitely deep into the western part of the state. And so that'll be a lot of fun to see going forward, you doing events in that region. That's awesome.
Yeah, we have a nice convention center that was just built, and they have craft shows and things. I think you and I talked about that we may think about getting involved in. And around Mother's Day, there's always a big barbecue festival here. The town actually doubles in size. We, Owensboro, if you don't know it, is a small town. It's about 60,000 people, if you include the cemeteries. And we have this barbecue festival, and we'll bring people from Japan, Canada. We'll bring about 60 to 100,000 people in for it. So I think it'd be good to set up a booth down on the river, and as people walk by, holler at them. So we're going to try to do that this coming year. It would be fun. But we got some ideas.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And, yeah, it's going to be exciting because, yeah, you're already – you got the second manuscript in, and yeah, you're on the roll. Yeah, you're rolling, for sure. Yeah, that's a.
Yep.
So what is next for you? It's Imaginarium, I'm assuming, right?
That's correct. I've got some health issues coming up. Get that behind me, and then. But yeah, we're shooting for October. And that right now is our big thing, just getting that in place and coming up there
right.
To see everybody again.
And as far as online, because I know you're just kind of getting underway with building your online presence, do you have any links that you prefer for people to look you up under or connect with you on?
I'm an old dog, and all this stuff is new tricks. I do know how to get on the Facebook. So Michael Houchin is on Facebook. I have paintings, portrait paintings and landscapes. So I have one Facebook site that has pictures of my paintings, the commissions I've done. But Facebook is probably the way to see me, to get a hold of me. I don't have anything else. And I'm open, but that's the easiest way, Facebook.
Very cool.
Is that on your personal page, or do you have an author page yet?
I really don't have an author. Well, there's one called Michael Houchin, the author. I wrote years ago some little novels, and I did self-publishing. And to be honest with you, they're sitting on a counter somewhere collecting dust. That's why I needed a real publisher like Steven and Holly to help me, and they've come through for me. So there is one called Michael Houchin, it's called The Artist. I have my books and paintings out there. You can check it out. But my personal one is Michael Houchin. You'll see me and my family and the kids. And, you know, it's my wife and I. We have 5 kids and 8 grandkids. We're always busy with them.
Oh, so I bet you are.
That's how you get up to me. Yeah.
that's quite a good legacy there that you're building up. Oh man!
Yeah.
Wow. 5 kids and 8 grandkids. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
And
thank you. Yeah. But we're busy. We're always doing something.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
That's what you want. That's what you want.
Oh man, that's fantastic. So, is there anything that we have not kind of covered tonight that you would like to before the show comes to a close here?
No, we talked about the book that's out, and I hope all the listeners have a chance to go out and check it out. And we talked about the new book, the sequel.
Yep.
It's written, done. I think everybody's read it so far, has liked it, except they didn't like the ending. And so I'm started on the third. So, and I've got another little thing in the mill I'll send you one of these days. I've got about 20,000 words on it, but it's a murder kind of thing I'll send to you, let you look it at. Look it over, see what you think about it. But no, I think we've covered everything. It's an honor to be on here and meet everybody and talk to everybody. And can't wait to see you guys in October.
I've got one question for you. You keep saying that the people didn't like the ending. Did you ever think about doing an alternative ending to it? Or Or you
no,
just...
because I wanted to use it as a cliffhanger for the third book.
Okay.
One of the major characters in the book is murdered, and that's why they kept saying we don't like that ending. And I said, "Are you sure this person's dead?" So that's why I started writing the third book. I'll tell you now, the person's not dead. Okay, that's a spoiler alert. But why they think it's her, that's the key to it. So I told millions of people the ending. So now they won't hate me. You know, I'm going to write a book one of these days where the main character dies. It's going to be sad. There's going to be people shedding tears. But, you know, why does there have to be a sequel? Why can't the main character die and, you know, Odiella died? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just entered the editing phase, so, you know, who knows what's going to happen at the end of that,
that's
that
exactly
part
right.
Of it.
It's exactly right. There can
you
be
never
something
know.
Else to lead to L.A. The reason I picked L.A., I have a son that lives in L.A., and we visit him about 3 or 4 times, so see, I've been to L.A., and so he's gonna pick us up at the airport in the book and kind of shuffle us around, because I don't like driving in L.A., so again, the place that we visited, they'll be in there too in LA, the sights and the sounds and what we experienced ourselves. So I think that's important. You know, the more you can put into a book, I think a real life situation, it's like the sights and sound restaurants and things like that. It makes it more real. I guess if that's a proper term. Like for instance, in the sequel, there's a place I need an animal hospital. In the sequel, and as we were driving around Franklin, Kentucky, we passed by an animal clinic, and guess what? That animal clinic is now in the book. I needed an animal clinic and a real one, and there it is. So the people who read the book, they're from Franklin. Well, I know that place. I take my dog there. So I try to add realistic places that we've been to. So L.A. the third book takes place around the L.A. area, which we've been there, and the restaurants and things. So that's kind of how the way I think. I like doing research. I like the bomb, the Tybee Island bomb, and the type of bomb it was, and the destructive power, all that research done on that. So I do like doing research. The more the merrier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love research. I love it. I've got piles of research books myself on everything that I'm into. Yeah, that is a fun part of the process.
It is. I have folders on some book ideas on, and I've done the research on the trying to get the background information, trying to think, well, that, wouldn't that make a good book? So it's just folder after folder of just, you know, ideas and stories.
Yep.
And it's fun. I enjoy doing that.
No, that's definitely a part of the process that I think a lot of writers enjoy quite a bit. And it does, like you said, it does kind of spur new ideas and even give you new series ideas, character ideas, everything. Yeah, because once you go down that rabbit hole of research, yeah, it definitely expands quick.
Yep, I have an idea for a book. I have a grandson that has autism. So I was looking up autism once, doing some studies on autism. And there's a type of autism that the person with this autism, they're unable to show emotions. And I thought, you know, how would an assassin be who's not able to have to show emotion or have feelings? I mean, he'd make a perfect assassin. So I started working on that little book about that. But, you know, just the little bit of research about something, and at least something in my head, you know, that might make a good book. So jot it down, take some notes.
Nice. All right. Kylie or Eric, whichever of you two are on the line right now, Do you have any questions for Michael before we wrap up the show tonight?
No, but I would like to say his writing style is very similar to mine, where you just kind of make it up as you go along, and when it works, it really works. So, yeah, I can dig that.
Yeah, I have no idea sometimes when I'm writing where it's going. And then all of a sudden, bang, something happens. Well, I get sidelined because the story is going this way, so I have to pull myself back in sometimes. But it's all part of it because, you know, these characters to me are real people that have experiences, and it just doesn't go away. Sometimes I think somebody's going to come along and interrupt you doing something. But that's half the fun, though. Let's find out where you're going.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
That's awesome. Daniel?
One last question. Do you ever worry about, you know, like you're talking about having a animal clinic in there, that the people that own the clinic or anything would worry about, you know, how you present them in the book?
Okay. I used, you know, the facility is a public facility. I see their name on a board. And that's about all. I don't talk about the people inside it. I don't get personal. It's just I need to drop the dog off at, you know, John's Animal Clinic. So, you know, I'm not doing anything negative or anything. It's a public facility, and I figure that, I mean, if anything, I'm giving them a good promotion in the book. But, no, I don't. Now, if I were going to use somebody's name, for instance, yeah, that would worry. That would bother me big time because they may not want me to mention their name. But I figure if it's on a billboard somewhere.
A lot of businesses don't either, so that's the reason I was wondering.
That's probably a good point. Something I could check on. Yeah, that is a good point. That's a good idea. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, it's just, you know, I've heard other authors talk about, you know, writing about real places, but they always changed what the place was, you know, just enough to where.
I got you. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The animal clinic, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. The animal clinic, it's a person's name, so-and-so's animal clinic. It's not so-and-so's animal clinic in the book. It's a different name, but it's still on the main drag. So
people that live there would know where it was at and everything.
They would probably know where it was at. Yeah, I'm sure they would figure it out. Yes. Yeah, there'd be no doubt about it in that one. That case, it would. We ate at there's a cafe right on the main drag there by the courthouse. So we ate in there and we talked about the book and told them I would probably use it. And the manager said that was a great idea. He liked that idea. So I know I got their permission to do it.
Yeah.
But again, I wouldn't use their names. I always change names.
Yeah. You know, some people get really, you know, picky about things like that, and just, you know, that's the only thing I was wondering about, whether you had gotten permission to use their name or, you know, if you were changing the place just enough to where, unless you lived right there, you wouldn't know what it was or something.
Yep. If you lived right there, you probably would. But you know, you or anybody else in the world would not know. Put it that way. That I'm sure. But it wouldn't be much of a deal to call them up and just tell them what I'm doing.
Yeah.
We're still in the editing,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point. I will take that. That's a good point.
Well, one day, yeah, you're going to see, excursions to Tybee Island with award-winning, best-selling author Michael Houchin. That's going
to
be.
Oh, I can't. I'm wanting to. Next year, I'm going to get with the mayor of the city, and I know who he is because he's in one of the documentaries. And I'm going to talk to him about it, see if I can get a book signing down there. And there's a restaurant
absolutely.
Called AJ's. It's AJ's. It's a crab's restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Fresh food.
Right down there on the main drag.
He's also the that's where the Tybee Island bomb squad is located. So you can go in there and he'll sell you T-shirts with Tybee Island bomb squad. I have a T-shirt. And but I want to see about if I can get some books in there on his shelf. I'm sure he'll do it.
I mean, these should go over really well down there. I mean, I would think these would really be popular.
So we're looking forward to doing that. That'll be fun.
You might want to contact the tourism center down there too.
Right.
Get them in there.
Yes, you're right. There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we have, I think, covered everything tonight. So unless is there anything else you would like to talk about, Michael?
No. I'm all talked out. Thank you guys for letting me come aboard with you.
No, absolutely.
It was fun.
Hopefully
this won't be the last time.
No. This is hopefully the first of many times that you get to enter the Star Chamber with our crazy group of co-hosts, no matter who it might be. But
that's awesome.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you coming aboard. So, yeah, folks, next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we will have another exciting Star Chamber show episode for you to enjoy. So I will sign off, and then I will turn it over to Eric or Kylie and Daniel to wrap it up. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Stephen.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. And if you have not picked up a copy of the Tybee Island book by Michael, be sure that you go pick one up today and give him some good love on giving him some, reviews on that book. And until we are back again next week, be creative. Talk to you then.
And what a perfect note to end it on. Good night, everybody.
Good night.